Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in. Happy to be joined by Jake Thompson of the Ole Miss Spirit. That's, of course, an affiliate of On3 Sports. You can follow Jake on Twitter. That's at Jake Thompson on 3. And for those that are watching and are not members of the Ole Miss Spirit, I encourage you to take a look. It's a dollar. You can join. Jake's had some great stories, and we'll get to those in just a moment, previewing the offense and the defense. He's got one more story left on the different positions of the defense. We're going to talk just a little bit about the offense and defense a little bit more in detail in just a moment. Before we do, Jake, you had your ear to the ground the entire baseball season, one in which Ole Miss was picked to finish almost dead last in the SEC, obviously finished with a run in the NCAA tournament before falling to Murray State, who would be kind of the Cinderella team this year. Kind of your overall thoughts on the season, Mike Bianco, Coach Clement, and where the program stands.
I mean, once you kind of take a step back and remove yourself from that Monday night and think about it, it has to be viewed as a success from the overall standpoint. I mean, I know the goalposts kind of got moved. We're all human. The team was much better than probably anticipated, and you felt like there was all of a sudden a path to get to Omaha, and you can sit there and say they probably should have gotten there, but Murray State was just playing at a different level. Unfortunately, they were probably not a four seed, and if you reseeded the tournament, they were probably a strong three, but it is what it is. But from the overall standpoint, I mean, they were picked 14th or 15th in the SEC when the season started. But we're sniffing a top 25, not even, you know, considered in field of 64 by all those prognosticators. And I was asked, I know Ben Garrett was asked on the board, just what's the ceiling? And I think we both said in some fashion, a two or three seed in somebody else's regional is probably an improvement relative to the past 2 years if you're just keeping it in that vacuum. And what they did is they went off and won 40-plus games, made it to Sunday in Hoover, and earned themselves a host bid for the first time in 4 years. So all that has to be viewed as a success. I know there's still issues. You know, hitting offense was kind of vanishing, anemic, or, you know, hot or cold. But from the overall, the way the season went, I think you'd just be disingenuous if you didn't acknowledge that the program turned around and took a step back in the right direction.
Not to get too deep in the weeds, you can follow everything at the Ole Miss Spirits at omspirit.com and affiliate of On3 Sports. In regards to transfer portal recruiting, once again, not too deep. You can read all about it there. Can you give kind of an overall grade of where the team is right now in regards to commitments versus players coming back from at least what we know at this moment?
For baseball?
Yeah.
You know, I think we're all holding our breath to see what the dominoes fall. I guess now in about 10 days, 11 days when the draft starts, you know, roped in with MLB All-Star over in Atlanta, where Hunter Elliott goes, where I think we've all kind of, you know, submitted to the fact Luke Hill probably going to go high enough to go. Mason Moore is probably high enough to go. I don't know what their thresholds are, but I'm sure they've got one to where they feel like they're going. But then, you know, there's a path for Connor Spencer to come back. Will McCausland, who's kind of a potential draftist, to come back. So those are kind of the three you're looking at as what, you know, Brayden Jones, he can't play next year, or at least most of next year, because of the injury happened so late this season. But there's a potential for him to choose to come back and get a medical redshirt if he's not taken at a spot he likes. So it's really kind of your pitching or from this past year that may or may not be back. But, you know, a lot of people I know, Joel Mangrum told me when I had spoken to him that he wouldn't be shocked. And I know some other assistants have told other people that they've done the math and think Hunter is probably a top 5-round pick, which, I mean, if you can improve your stock 15 rounds from the year before to this year, I mean, that's you got to go. You can't be mad for that. So in terms of returning guys, that's kind of where that is. I think Will Furnish is probably back. I think Judd Utemark's back. I know they're working on that. I mean, I haven't heard anything to say he's not going unless he just Somebody takes a flyer on him and he has no choice but to go because it's a good spot. But I think returning guys, that's where it is. Portal, they hit their marks, I think. And in pitching, they got some good arms. The Green Canyon guy, Grant Richardson. You got the Missouri guy who I think, you're going to turn your nose up because you're looking at the overall picture of Missouri's body of work and go, hey, why would anybody want a player from there after the season they had? But I think Will Liberts can end up being a good arm. And, Mangrum is kind of in that category for me of a Pete Golding and Randall Joyner. You can't discredit them yet because of the development that they do with some of these guys. You see what they do with defensive line, and I'm comparing to what Mangrum got out of this pitching staff that a lot of people did not think was very strong top to bottom. And I think he made some guys get better and turn them around. So I think he could, probably work with Libert and improve him. But, then there's the San Diego State pitcher who I think might contend for a starting role maybe midweek, but for sure probably a weekend. And you got a couple outfielders that you feel good about. So no, I think they did well in the portal. I know Richardson is one of the guys that they're worried about draft risk wise, but I don't know how overly concerned. So, it's just typical Ole Miss baseball in early July. They do the job and get the good players interested even at the high school level. But because of that, they've got to hold their breath for a couple weeks and see who comes and who doesn't.
And real quick, you had a very detailed piece, an exclusive piece with Joel Mangrum, the pitching coach for Ole Miss. I encourage all of you to go to the Ole Miss Spirit and search that and read that. It was very good. I do want to hit on one thing and kind of get your overall view on the first year of Joel Mangrum as a pitching coach for Ole Miss, and what are your overall thoughts?
And kind of, just expand on what I said earlier. I think obviously the move needed to happen. I think that was the, Mike, you got to hire a pitch coach or make a change or a change is going to have to happen. I mean, I don't know in what words that was, that felt like the vibe was what it was when he made this hire last summer. I talked with Doug Nikhazy about this time or sometime last summer, who had worked with Joel and the Guardians organization. And he was high on him, and he was jealous that he no longer got to work with him, and that these current Ole Miss guys were going to get to work with him. And then, as we saw throughout the season, almost every pitcher we talked to after a game, we'd be like, "So, what worked? What's working? What's improved?" And every person credited Joel for the changes that they've seen in their game, and we even saw Riley Maddux credit Joel for kind of helping him with off the field stuff, an ear to talk to, going through some things. So I think Joel's been a massive addition, positive addition, and like I said, now he's getting a chance to recruit arms that he sees. He's probably, he got in late in the game last year. Those weren't necessarily his guys, but now he's able to kind of get with Mike and say, "This is who I like, who I don't like, and who he thinks he can develop." So I think this next season will be kind of the start of what the full advantage of having Ingram will be with some of his arms in the bullpen.
Let's take a look at some of the pieces that you wrote, basically focusing in on specific positions for the football team. And let's look at the quarterbacks and the running backs together, because honestly, a quarterback is going to be the Austin Simmons show. One person I would love your thoughts on, Trinidad Chambliss. Chuck Brownsville of the Ole Miss Spirit posted on the board not long ago. He had a really good, or he's being talked a lot about in the Manning Center. So the quarterbacks and obviously the running back position. Jake, you and I were down in Gainesville when Micah Davis, a walk-on, running back, a walk-on wide receiver, was playing running back. So I think the room, if anything, it has a lot more depth with Logan Diggs, and of course Kawan Lacy, and then we'll see with Shakai Mills-Knight coming on. But yeah, the quarterback room and the running back room.
Yeah, no, I think it's Austin's show. I mean, we've not seen anything to think otherwise. I'm sure he'll go, about 10 days to media days. I'm sure he'll be one of the three, which should probably solidify any concern that somebody else overtook him. But yeah, Chuck's right. I think Trinidad impressed, and he was probably brought in for a reason beyond depth. I mean, they needed bodies. It was just Austin in there scholarship wise after Walker Howard transferred back down to back home to Lafayette. So they needed bodies. They got him a Division II, a national champion, Ferris State. But they liked to think I think they liked what he's done with his feet. And Austin's not Austin said he can run, but I think he's mostly a pocket passer guy or scramble passer guy first. So I won't shock me if Trinidad's got some packages, or some plays. Maybe short downs or inside the red zone kind of stuff. That's not something we've not acting like we're not seeing Lane do before with multiple quarterbacks. So I think he's kind of your number two. Now, I know that they've got other guys in the room, but I think that's just for depth. And, AJ hurt his hand, and I don't know where they felt he was progress-wise before the injury this spring, if he's where they wanted him to be. But I'm ready to see once he's healthy, if he is during camp, where he kind of is in the mix, if he's the number three or if he's even shuffled out any further. But yeah, I think right now it's Austin and Trinidad as who you would expect to see on the field the most, this season.
Yeah, AJ Maddox had a really good spring game slash when they had the whole hot dog dunk contest 2 years ago, and of course he is injured. Real quick on the running back room, Logan Diggs, we saw him a little bit in the Gator Bowl, coming off an injury to his leg. You always got Dominique Thomas, has kind of been a gamer. He's been through the wars, and then Kawan Lacy, depending on what's happening or how quick Shekhi Mills-Knight can pick up the offense. The good news, though, I think, is that Ole Miss has depth.
Yeah, no, I think for right now you could probably sit there, and if you had to pencil down a depth chart just to put a guess, I think you'd say Diggs and Lacey are probably at the top in whatever order you want to do. Because from what I saw in spring, they both were kind of getting equal reps or equal snaps, with what little bit we saw of, one-on-ones or the ones versus the ones, I should say. And then, Thomas, I think, is just going to be in the same role he was last year, maybe more, maybe less, since they seem to have two established backs. And I hope there's not some kind of like mystery of where is one of them like we had last year. I think maybe that's taken care of this year. But no, I mean, Shekhi, he was even up there some during spring watching practice. He opted to finish his senior year in high school, like Caleb Cunningham did. But he was up there watching and standing off to the side with running backs and soaking it in and absorbing it. So it's not now in terms of physically doing stuff, it would be his first time, but some of this will not be new to him just from watching it from on the sidelines. So I think that's positive to see him soak it up. And I know everybody's high on him. Chuck's high on him when he just was kind of around him at practice. How fast he makes an impact is the big question. But, yeah, I would not be shocked if he is number three, or the infamous four with whoever number two is in that week one depth chart that they put out.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I think quite possibly one of the most secure, one of the deepest, and one of the most talented rooms Ole Miss has this year is the tight end room. Of course, Daquan Wright coming back, Luke Haas, the transfer out of Arkansas, and then look at Trace Brucker, the senior transfer. You put on top of that how with Caden Lee coming back at wide receiver, you get two transfers in Deshaun Stribling and Harrison Watkins, the third, Traylon Ray, Caleb Odom, and then the freshman you talked about, Caleb Cunningham. And then someone that I'll be watching for, Winston Watkins, the other freshman wide receiver. So the tight end room and the wide receiver room, really good numbers there. Seems to be pretty good depth, a lot of talent, a really nice spot for quarterback Austin Simmons.
Yeah, no, I think he's got plenty of targets. And we saw in spring, he really liked Deuce Alexander, Deshaun Stribling, obviously Caden Lee, because they were, I think, inseparable at the hip Everywhere we saw one out, at Ole Miss games or somewhere else, the other was with them. In fact, they both showed up at Celebrity Softball game, a couple months ago together. So they have a good relationship and a good bond. So I think that helps. It's just in terms of strengthening the rest of the relationships. I know he took some to Florida, kind of like Dart would do to California over the summer when they were not having workouts here. So I think we on paper we should all feel good about the receiving room because also you got Caleb Odom from Alabama who didn't really get to do a lot last year. I don't know, they just couldn't find a spot for him. But I'm sure I feel like they will here in this offense, even if it's a hybrid tight end slash receiver, because I know he says he wasn't recruited as a tight end, but I think he played some tight end, in his high school days. And then you got Caleb Cunningham, who's kind of that unknown. How fast can he be an impact player like Shy in the running game? One of the top receivers in the state of Choctaw County, highly, valuable recruit that they landed. So I'm excited to see where he is in the mix and how fast. And at tight end, I think Lucas is just kind of coming in to be the fill in for Caden Breeshorn. And I mean, as in, they're both going to get used. Daquan and Luke should probably both be out there. Now, I think the expectation is Luke might have more production than Caden just because of how strong he was in the Arkansas passing game. But also, he's just a big guy. You got another added pass blocker, their pass protection, run protection guy that Caden kind of struggle with at times. That wasn't really, he would do his best, but that was not his main forte. So I think tight end wise, they're in a perfect spot. And like you said, they added depth with Bruckler and I think our freshman came in as well in the signing class. So they've added the right numbers. And that's what said the offense is there, but just it's once again, I think it's going to come down to the offensive line. That'll be the big question mark over where this team goes, I think.
Yeah, Caden Lee has been terrific for Ole Miss his entire career, and you just made mention a moment ago how that relationship with Austin Simmons has always kind of been there, and he's been on a lot of watch lists throughout the Southeastern Conference. And you throw in Deuce Alexander, the sophomore transfer, that's a lot of depth, and that's definitely a room that we'll be looking for. Defense, let's switch over real quick, Jake. The defensive front for Ole Miss, a lot of those names that we saw last year are now in the National Football League. So the question is how are they going to be able to fill in that depth for Ole Miss? And if you look at some of the players, you're really going to have players like Cam Franklin and Will Eccles take a big step forward.
Yeah, Cam Franklin, of those three that came in, that trio of Mississippi guys, him, Beavers, and Rush, two of them redshirted, played very little. Franklin was a guy that saw a lot of action, kind of in that reserve role or play in, late in games and garbage time, so to speak, fourth quarter type minutes. He's going to have to take a step up, but I think Will Eccles, doesn't like to be called William now, I believe it's Will Eccles on the roster now. Him, Xavier Harris are going to have to step up. And then they went in and got Deshaun Womack and another Umar Mielen and Prince Well from Nebraska who transferred in for both kind of to help kind of bookend the off defensive line on your ends. Now, where they fall in the depth chart, if somebody overtakes them or if they've got to kind of earn their spot, so to speak, we'll see. They both were here during spring, so they've got that under their belt. But also, like I said, Rush. And Beavers, Cameron Beavers, they've got to see more out of. I think they were impressed with him. Beavers, that is. I think they knew what they had in Rush because they quickly kind of redshirted him and kind of held him off just because they knew that there was so much talent in front of him. There's no need to burn this guy if, with, like you said, four NFL guys were leading this group and now they're gone. So the production loss is major. Golden doesn't feel like they're going to take a step down. I believe he told Chris Beard that in our fireside chat out in the courthouse square. Last week or earlier this summer, which you like the confidence in him, but you now they've got to go do it on paper. He feels that way, but until they tee it up against Georgia State or I guess really truthfully Kentucky the next week and how they perform, that's really when you're going to know how good that defensive line will end up being.
Is there a running back that's going to fill the shoes of JJ Pegues out of this group that you think might could be that?
Now, I don't know if they've got a JJ Pegues. I say that, and now they may have one up their sleeve that I'm not thinking of. But the JJ was just such a special talent player that I think, that's kind of a once in a, not a lifetime, but once in a half a generation, so to speak. You get one of those kind of players that can do what he did. But right now, I don't see that kind of versatile two-way guy. But anything's possible come August 30th.
A player that I think a lot of Ole Miss fans wish that had come back was Poupon. The linebacker was terrific for Ole Miss. He'll do big things in the National Football League, but what we understand, he was right there teetering on coming back or going pro. Now, you're really going to be leaning heavily on T.J. Dottery, Suntaron Perkins, and a lot of other guys. And a linebacker, you would love to have had Paul back. Now, you've got Perkins, who in many ways will line up at this defensive end. But where's the linebacking room right now?
I think it's going to come down to obviously Dottery is back. You know, I think he's going to be your green dot, as they call him, the end Mike and helmet Mike guy. He's shared that duty with Paul, and that they may share that with somebody else if they want him to come off the field for a few snaps. But it's going to have one of those three transfers is going to have to step up there. You know, I don't know who it will be. I know they liked Gates a lot. Chambers got a lot of action. But of those three guys, one of them is going to have to fill that spot, because Perkins, I think, is going to, you know, more time than not, I think, be that hybrid lurking off to the end defensive line, kind of up at four, that up down lineman. So I don't know how much linebacker he will be. Now, I think he'll be both, but I think you've got to lean more on one of those transfers to step up, because I think they're going to have Perkins being doing so much that he can't just solely always be in that linebacker's position with Dottery. So I think that's where it comes down. They on paper, this is another one on paper, they look like they filled spots, but you know, nobody knew with the production that Pooh Paul was going to give until he got here, and he ended up being their leading tackler, the transfer from Arkansas. So, you know, you're hoping that kind of comes again with one of these three guys that are stepping up in competition. Obviously, a Missouri State, a Marshall, and a Grambling State, and Andrew Jones. So it's a step for them, but I think they like what they got. But yeah, it's going to come down to one of them coming up and meeting Buttery in that production line.
And the final position on defense is the defensive backfield. And honestly, to me, Jake, that's the one that has the most questions, even with linebacker in the conversation. That article is going to come out at some point over the next couple of days at omspirit.com. So we encourage you to take a look for that. Jake, it's going to chronicle the defensive backfield. Real quick, any names that Ole Miss fans need to be looking forward to? Because that's a backfield, defensive backfield, the one that's going to have a lot of new faces.
Yeah, no, it's as I'm sitting here looking at the roster now, it's got a lot of new names. You know, Cedric Beavers is back. That's a returner. But, you know, Jalen Braxton, the Arkansas transfer, who we didn't see much of in spring, he was battling or coming back from injury. I don't know if he got injured, but coming still from an injury. So he was in that black jersey, kind of off to the side, or sometimes we didn't see him at all. So, you know, that's one who you're ready to see. He is healthy now. He took part in camp last week with Simmons and some other guys at Lafayette. So I did get to see him. He's doing stuff. He's not hurt anymore. So they're obviously banking on him kind of becoming a guy in that defensive backfield. One of the three, I think, Arkansas transfers they got. You know, Auburn transfer Antonio Kite. I don't know. You know, he didn't have a huge sample size. He played 8 games at Auburn and then had some issues and was no longer with the team, I believe. So what are you getting out of that? But it's a lot of guys who are, you know, Chris Graves, I guess, is the one guy that is returning with the most production to go off of from a year ago. But yeah, it's a lot of question marks. Who's going to do what, where? And you know, it's also, it's safety. You've got Sage Ryan, the LSU guy, Capena, I'm probably butchering his name, unfortunately, the Washington State guy that, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of moving around. They're not all going to be a defensive back, and they're not all going to be safety. I think you're going to have to see kind of play with the toys in the box, so to speak, and see what works where, and sometimes change it up week to week. But I think, yeah, I think that's the big question, is who we wear and who's going to be the ones to kind of help put the top back on, because that's where we saw some of those games lost. The Kentucky game gave up that long pass to Berrian Brown. LSU lost in overtime, and they picked on Kennedy a bunch throughout that whole game. So it's one of those where you've got to find people to kind of make sure those type of things don't happen in those games that you got to have to make this a successful season.
Final question for you, Jake, today. You made mention a moment ago, you open the season, if you're Ole Miss, with Georgia State, and then you're at Kentucky, and then you come home and face Arkansas. There's a stretch in there where Ole Miss has at Georgia, at Oklahoma, and then come home against South Carolina. You could break the schedule down, and we'll do that as the season gets closer. But is there any specific game that you've circled? I'll be honest, if I'm looking at this, and I think the difference between a good season for Ole Miss and a great season hinges on that road trip to Oklahoma. Are there any games that you're looking for that really screams Ole Miss needs to get this win to have a really good season?
think the LSU game at home in September, Georgia, but that's everybody's game on their schedule. So that's not a groundbreaking analysis there. But yeah, I think that stretch, Georgia, Oklahoma, South Carolina, you got to go 2-1 some way, 3-0 if possible. If you go 3-0, you're probably sitting real good the rest of the way. And then that Florida game, return game here, will be the one at the end of the year to kind of loom large. Also, I think, Tulane, everybody's kind of suddenly kind of circled them as that, they always give all, they're kind of the non-conference Vandy, so to speak, and they always give Ole Miss a tough game, no matter where they play it, here in New Orleans, anywhere. And then Washington State, that's that fill-in game, to losing Wake Forest, and you have them coming in. And, so I think there's some non-conference games that they've got to worry about, not really the Georgia State one, but or Citadel, but those two, Tulane and then Washington State. But in terms of SEC games, I think Kentucky or the LSU game, Georgia, and then Florida. Because I know Oklahoma's going to be better. It's at Norman. I just feel like you're going to be prepared for that one. I know Lenore Sellers is the guy, but if this defense can improve and gel by the time they get to that South Carolina game, I think the defense can do enough to keep it close or just pull away like they did in Columbia a year ago. But there's a lot of games to circle to make this a season where they do better than 9-3, which I know 9-8 kind of where all the win totals are, have them sitting and people thinking. But we saw last year where 9-3 ended up being in conversation by the end of the season, much to a lot of, I think, people's chagrin that they didn't want to have to discuss a 9-win team, but there were so many of them that they kind of had to. So I'm not saying 9 wins get you in, probably done, but I don't think it hurts. Just depends on what those 3 losses would be. But 10-2 and better is what they got to aim for, and they just got to navigate those obvious landmines.
And this is far from earth-shattering news, but this schedule to me looks a lot more difficult than last year's, specifically non-conference. Last year's non-conference schedule, I think, really hurt Ole Miss leading up to the Kentucky game. Really didn't play anybody with a pulse. And I think this year, at least, they have some semblance of a non-conference with Tulane, and you made mention Washington State. I think those are much more serviceable foes than last year's. He's Jake Thompson. He does a great job over at the Ole Miss Spirit. You can follow him on Twitter/X at Jake Thompson on 3, and follow all of his work at omspirit.com. Jake, thanks very much for joining us. We'll get with you after SEC Media Day, maybe take a deeper dive into the schedule, and if there's any news breaks out of SEC Media Days, we'll talk about it. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate having me on.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.